evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City work session, Aiken City Council work session this evening, July 9th, 2007. We have two items on our work session. The first will be the railroad, talking about the railroad depot, and the second would be discussing donation of land from Edgewood Manor Association. So, Mr. LeDuc, would you like to take over, sir?
Yes, sir. There are a number of people here representing the railroad depot, friends of the railroad depot, and they would like to discuss some funding issues concerning the railroad depot. But just to bring everybody on council as a looking back in the past, in 2004, City Council had two requests. One was from the railroad depot, Mac McLaren, Owen Sheets, and another was on the African American Cultural Museum. And that was then funded by City Council after a lot of debate whether it should be from the 1 cent sales tax or from the accommodation tax money. Council decided, since this was providing a venue for tourism, that the money would come out of the tourism dollars. So no city tax dollars currently are involved whatsoever in the funding of either of the facilities. $250,000 was allotted over a five-year basis, $50,000 each year for the railroad depot, and $75,000 a year was allotted to the African American Cultural Center, with $360,000 the total amount for that one. But again, those are both coming out of the accommodation tax dollars. We have tonight a number of individuals. Mr. Mayor, I'm not too sure how you would like to proceed with this. I believe Press Ray here is representing the group.
Okay, Press, would you like to speak, sir? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. We'd like to update you on the Aiken Railroad Depot project and ask for your continued and increased support. Now, I'm not here tonight as either a railroad buff or a history buff. In fact, I'm neither. I am here because I'm a fan of downtown revitalization and improving the quality of life in Aiken. 5 years ago, my company played a role in the revitalization of Newberry Street, a project that was quite controversial back then. Today, I don't think that there's anyone among us who would deny the role that the Washington Center for the Performing Arts played in revitalizing downtown. The Railroad Depot project, in my mind, is the next logical extension of that plan. It would expand that revitalization eastward, stimulating new business and investment in a section of our city that 10 years ago was frankly sort of seedy. Now, the city's efforts to cure that problem have succeeded, and that area, which contains four historical registry buildings, and the city as a whole would benefit from the Railroad Depot project. New investment, a broader city tax base, would logically ensue as visitors came to the depot and new businesses located there to serve them. As part of the All Aboard campaign, we've met with the neighbors near the depot site, with the churches located nearby, and they are solidly behind the project. We've also had feasibility discussions with other businesses and community leaders to solicit their support and understand what they'd like to see in the project. So consequently, the project has been evolving in order to meet the broadest range of community need. We ask for your support to help meet this broader scope. The final price tag is now about $3 million. Our consultants tell us that community projects of this nature are typically 30% publicly funded and 70% privately funded. We believe we're on a track to do that. We ask your consideration to expand your commitment to $500,000, up from the current $250,000 that the accommodations tax has included. We plan to ask the county for a similar amount. We appreciate your consideration of the request that we believe has three benefits. First of all, further downtown revitalization. Second of all, historical restoration of the roots of our community. And third, tax-based stimulation. I thank you for your time and effort, and Mr. Simmons and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Press. Does council have any questions, comments?
I guess I have a question, which is basically we're talking $250,000. We've got some sort of a construction thing here. Is that going to come from accommodation tax funds or elsewhere?
If we would proceed with the manner in which I have discussed with the Friends of the Depot, currently the $250,000 is just going to their general funding. I've asked their architect, McDonald Law, to break out approximately what it would cost to close the road, put in the new sidewalk, curb and gutter, streetscape, any sidewalks or pavers that were going to be needed. Call it in general the streetscape of the area. That amount comes close to $250,000. That money could be taken from the 1 cent sales tax. We got streetscape money in there. We also had set aside some money to redo Union Street even before the Railroad Depot came up as a project. Any additional funds though, that are needed over and above that could come back from the accommodation tax dollars. In other words, we could increase the amount that we have right now, which is $250,000, and raise that to a higher amount. But most of the money is going to come out of the streetscape account that we have with the 1 cent sales tax. Does that answer your question? More or less?
It's really general fund money. So, no, the penny sales tax.
It's the penny sales tax.
Or the accommodation taxes, as Roger has indicated, which is for tourism-type activities, and we will have an office there, tourism office.
If council wanted to, I mean, we could set it aside and say that all of it could come from the accommodation tax money, too, you know, future accommodation tax money. Over what period of time do you need this money? I mean, is this like a five-year pledge? Is this a... What kind of a pledge are you looking for from different folks?
We're looking for 3 to 5 years, depending upon how the campaign that we're getting ready to kick off privately is done. We've had some good early success with the private campaign, but have not formally kicked it off yet. But we've had enough success that we're comfortable with the 70% figure. I would always ask for the shorter time period, of course. So I would say 3 years, but as long as 5.
We have already had 3 years of the original commitment. We've got 2 more years to go on it. So as of July 1, we're in our 4th year of funding from the accommodation tax money or the $50,000 per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, some of the work could be started pretty quickly, could it not, Roger, with the landscaping and some of those kinds of things, as the schedule permits, let's say, to put it that way?
Some of the work would start almost immediately. In fact, we're working with them right now on getting some additional track laid in there, utilizing city crews, where we're putting in some ballast material, putting down the railroad ties, and then helping with the actual track itself that's going to be laid in there. And that would be for the timing cars that are going to be coming sometime around the 1st of August.
May I ask a question? Who owns the property? I thought Norfolk Southern still owned a lot of this property.
The Norfolk Southern does, but we have in discussion with them. I'm sorry. The property, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim. The property that the depot will be on is not owned by Northern. The city owns that. The adjacent park is owned by Norfolk Southern.
So would this work that is in-kind work be done on just the property that the city owns?
What I'm envisioning right now would be all on city-owned property. It would be the right-of-way of Union Street, which we have gotten permission from the State Highway Department to take over the maintenance responsibility. So all the work that we're talking about would be on city property.
how long do you think the capital campaign, what's your projection of how long you plan to do that?
I think by the end of this year, we will have the pledges that we need. We might go into the first quarter of next year, but
as soon as that, then that's good.
Yeah, it's moving pretty well.
So that is not begun yet. So we don't have any answer as to how much has been pledged so far.
Prior to the beginning of the formal campaign, about 500 to 600,000 has been pledged. That's before a final.
And there was a figure you said about 30% being supplied by.
Typically, these are 30% public and 70% private. So we would expect to raise approximately, $2.1 million.
So then there's $900,000 that would be public money?
Yes.
Probably?
Yes. 900 to a million, somewhere in that range.
Do you think it's unreasonable to say that city tax dollars should not be invested in this site until we can see how well this capital campaign is going?
Well, there's a chicken and egg thing that goes on here, too. You know, what we're trying to do, I think we have, given the fact that we have more pledges, in fact, privately, than the city has pledged to, I think it's altogether fitting and proper that the city should pledge.
Okay. But I'm just confused because the original proposal was not $900,000. It wasn't even close to that. We were told on March 26th in the minutes that all the money would come from accommodations tax funds. That's what it says in here.
Well, it can.
Okay. No money would come from the general fund or the utility fund. So I'm just, I've been skeptical of this project from the first. And I'm not going to deny that I think it's an issue. And it's not going to be popular with this crowd, but I'm just not. And I just feel like before we commit several hundred thousand dollars, we need to be sure that this project is right down the line. And if you're talking about just a matter of first quarter of next year, that's going to be here before we turn around twice. And we've got these crews that we already have that can go into action as soon as we.
Jane, let's all clear the air here. The money can be all accommodation tax, or some of it could also be 1 cent sales tax. That is not the general fund.
Okay, it was just said that it would all be accommodations tax money.
Okay,
when was that? What year? 2004.
This was March 26, 2007.
Seven. Okay.
In the minutes.
Well, we've got some streetscape money and the 1 cent sales tax. I don't know why we would talk a whole long time on whether it's going to be accommodation tax or some of it come out of 1 cent sales tax. It's not general fund money. Now, if we want it to come out of 1 cent out of the accommodation tax, we can make it that way.
What was the streetscape funding in the 1 percent sales tax was not for any particular project?
No, we did not designate any particular project for it. The 2000 1 cent sales tax, we specifically gave different streetscape projects. We found out that got to be very confusing. Same thing with when we try to show what streets were going to be paved. So this last time we just said streetscape of city streets and paving of city streets, so much money.
And how much do we have in total?
We have 125,000 times 7 years, so that would be about $875,000, I believe, for that.
That is not money that was supposed to be spent on renovating ancient sewage lines and things like that.
No, that was for streetscape of the right-of-way, beautification.
This area is not something new that we just thought of to landscape and to make nice. Mm-hmm. It's always been in our plans to get down there. It's part of the streetscape plan.
And the tourism office will definitely be at this building now, right?
That is correct.
Because I heard it was going to be different places.
Yeah, if you had asked me in February or March, I would have said it was going to probably be at the chamber. But negotiations broke down on that, and so the decision was for us to keep the tourism and to put it in this office.
And that was part of the scope broadening of the project, too. But it will be.
Which is a great place to have it.
Oh, yeah.
For downtown, rather better than the center,
Where it is right now, if you will.
Where is it now?
It's
Week Center.
H.O. Weeks.
Robert Gassman's office at the Week Center.
Let me just add, with what press has said, with Newberry Street prior to the Performing Arts Theater, the Washington Performing Arts Theater coming, that street was in dire need of something to give it life. And certainly what has been there, the ambience that we've placed in the center of the street in addition to the facility that's there has given it life. Where he's discussing with the railroad, that area needs life as well. Beverly's church has and Bill's church has just done a marvelous job with what they've done with their building, and certainly with the railroad depot, with enhancing that. You've got a lot of history within a few blocks of each other. You have the Friendship Baptist Church, who's been around close to 140 years. You have Cumberland Amy Church. You have Schofield School. You have Wesley. You have the African American Culture Center. And then you have this facility, all within blocks, walking blocks of each other, which is a hub for a lot of people just enjoying a lot of good history in this town. And the Confederate battle was fought right on the corner of York and Richland Avenue. So it brings a lot of history. It's a good project. Very good project.
It certainly is.
Mr. Mayor, I wanted to piggyback on something that Jane brought up, and that has to do with the sewer lines and the funds to make repairs if that is the need here. And those funds would generally be utility funds, or would they be from the general funds? I guess I'm asking this of Roger. Is that this would be would this not be a different set of funds that would be used for something such as repair on sewer lines or replacing sewer lines?
It actually comes from a combination of several different locations, but I believe what Councilwoman Waters was talking about was in the 2004 one-cent sales tax, right. Money was set aside at $125,000 per year for streetscape, $250,000 for paving of roads, and $600,000 per year for infrastructure improvements of water, sewer, and storm drain. So that is a separate amount of money. But also water and sewer lines and storm drainage lines have other separate accounts that are certainly not general fund. There's a standalone account for water and sewer in our what we call our enterprise account, 002, and then there's another account called 006, which is stormwater. And we have funds set aside in both of those, also for upgrades as necessary.
Okay.
So this would not be taken away from those funds.
Right. I wanted to make that very clear, that this is not going to interfere with us doing any of that. I also feel that it is important that we send a message to Norfolk Southern that we're serious about renovating this area, and it might be that we may have something to gain by doing that. We've had that park, I don't know for how long, using it, and I know that they have no use for it, but it just might be a way to show them that we could maybe gain from all of this permanent use of that park.
Do you think we're going to have to buy this from Norfolk Southern? Because that's not included. The purchase of land is not included in this budget, is it?
No, it is not. Now, we have had initial discussions with the Norfolk and Southern regarding the park, and they seem to be very supportive of either a donation of the land or a very nominal price mm-hmm. for the land.
The railroad depot, the two dining cars will be on the city right-of-way property. Giles Park, which may have some future additional attributes put in that area, is currently owned by Norfolk Southern. There's been several correspondence going back and forth. The last one through the efforts of Beverly through Washington, some folks that she knows very close up there. There was an indication that Norfolk Southern might be willing to either greatly reduce the price or possibly give us the park for some consideration, if I'm saying that correctly.
I think what they want to know is that we're really serious about doing this. So often they have had other areas to say they are going to take on a project and it doesn't follow, and they don't follow through on it. But I would like to see Aiken follow through on this one because it adds some depth to the area we call the downtown area by going in that direction. And I think it would be a plus for the city to go in that direction.
Let's clarify one other thing, too. I think this is right. What you're planning to do at the depot would not be stopped by what you would plan to do over in Giles Park should they say, no, you can't use it at all.
That's correct.
You're still, it's two separate pieces of property.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what happens on that property, which would be nice according to the plans, if it doesn't come about, still go ahead. You could still go ahead with the depot, and that's the key thing right here.
That's correct,
as I see it. Yes.
So are these drawings only city-owned land?
Yes.
I think the answer is yes. The depot, at least, Jane. I don't know. I can't see.
Tim, do you want to?
This is where the depot and railroad cars and baggage building will be constructed, and that is city-owned property. That's in between the two lanes of Union Street.
And that above is Giles Park, right, Tim?
Okay.
So one does not interfere with the other. It's they're
separate. Presumably, that would only be used if Norfolk and Southern made it available at a reasonable price that you could actually benefit.
Yes.
Well, we'd probably continue to use it as we've used it in the past.
Just as a park.
Spend any money.
You wouldn't spend it.
Right.
Right, improving it unless we were
required. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, are there any other questions, or is anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? Obviously, if there seems to be a consensus, and it seems to me we have a consensus to put it on the agenda and move it forward. We can't do that tonight, of course. This is a work session. But we can at our next meeting, which would be second Monday in August, would be the first meeting we have. This would be we'd need two readings on this.
Just a resolution?
Yeah, just a resolution. So just one meeting, that second Monday night in August.
Okay.
If council agrees to go ahead and do this.
Should we do what they said and think about a 30%, our responsibility being 30% of the cost and address that?
Well, that might be an average. I think that's up to us to decide what if we want it to be. To me, I'll tell you what, the more I think about the history of Aiken, and I've done a lot of studies as well as everyone else has, the railroad is key. If that railroad had not come through Aiken, in my opinion, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight as Aiken. It would have been somewhere down around the Savannah Riverside or around the river on the flatter area. Because as I understand, what little I understand about it, that was perhaps the intended spot for it to go. And there were other reasons why they came. That, I understand, also might have been the longest route. There were other reasons why it came through Aiken. And I think we're all glad that it did. And then our city, of course, was laid out as it is, unique in every way, downtown.
also because of the railroad coming in, because of the engineers, because of the generosity of certain farmers giving land for Aiken to be laid out as it is. So the railroad, to me, is so important. It's a key pin, if you will, as to what we have today, in my way of thinking. And I think we need that depot, and I don't worry about 20%, 30%, 40%. I think the money will be raised. It's going to come out of accommodation tax, which is paid for people coming in, visiting our city, staying at our hotels, motels. So I think we ought to move forward on this thing as fast as we can. That's my two cents worth.
Mr. Mayor, you want, we can't vote
no,
right now.
No, I think
just...
we have a majority, I think anybody might say, that we want to move forward and at least put it on an agenda, and then we'll talk about it again before
we
vote.
I think you should put it on the agenda for the August, the first meeting in August. That's my two cents.
I think we should.
Would you?
Who else thinks they should?
Just a
vote.
Just a question. Are you all concerned as to where the funding comes from, as long as it doesn't come from the general fund, or would you rather see it all come from accommodation sales tax? Which one?
I think the important issue is that it's not from the general fund.
Right.
It's not from general taxpayer funds.
Absolutely.
And it's coming out of these other sorts of grants.
I prefer council to approve it, giving flexibility so it could come out of either fund.
And I agree with you, Roger. That's right.
That way,
I would support one or the other.
Yeah, and that way, and it might be, we could set up as approximately $125,000 from each one, but not limited. Understand again that the streetscape was going to be approved on Union Street long before the depot issue ever came up. It was a Parkway Street. It was a very important street. We were planning on going in there and putting sidewalks and street trees and beautifying the area no matter what. So money had been set aside previously to this. So again, I would just like to have the flexibility on our part, staff, to be able to get use both funds. It may be a 70-30 split, it may be a 30-70 split, but it would come out of those two sources of funds and not the general fund.
Well, why don't we decide this for sure when we have the resolution, because then we'll vote on it. But I mean, as much as we can make a decision right now, the biggest decision we can do right now, I think, is to say, yes, let's put it on the agenda. I think that's what we can do next.
You should have just said all aboard.
I just said it by myself. I did this morning, Dick. Okay, anybody else wants to speak on the subject? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Thank the team here.
Thanks, Chris.
Steve Norrell's here, I see. Steve leads the team that's conducting the fundraiser. Steve, thank you. Steve is also, for those who may not know, he's the one with some help that was here back years ago when we raised $3.5 million, roughly, for the Aiken 2020, which went along with our strategic plan, which is still moving on as we sit. So we thank you.
Mr. Mayor, there are two gentlemen sitting out there that's been coming to us for quite a while now about this project.
I wonder who they are.
And
we can't say enough about Owen and Mac and Owen. They really, I guess, started this thing, got it moving with their energy and kept it going. And,
sure did.
And I think this will be a great project. Mm-hmm. I think we're all going to be proud, very proud. And I think once people down there that own some of those buildings on Union Street, and I don't know who the owners are, I think once they see some activity, some improvement going on down there, I suppose that we'll see some big changes on Union Street as far as those places being improved or new places going up in their place. So that's the hope at any rate.
Somebody knows who owns them around here. Okay, is that it? Any other comments? Okay, well, thank you very much. We need to move on to our second item. Thank everybody for being here on that particular issue and the work you're doing. Okay, Roger, second item.
The second item is Mr. Conger built a subdivision called Edgewood Manor in the mid-50s. Edgewood Manor is right off of Silver Bluff Road. If you know where the office is of Steve Kisner, this, and you're looking at his office building on Silver Road, just to the right of it there's a little section of woods, and that's a portion of the property that I wanted to talk about tonight. When Mr. Conger built this subdivision, a few years later he gave to the Civic Association of Edgewood Manor the acreage behind there to be used for recreation. They no longer use it for recreation. It's completely wooded. We have a sanitary sewer line that runs through there. There's some storm drainage that runs through that area. It consists of approximately 8 acres. We don't know exactly how much because it has never been surveyed. And they would like to give it to us because it's currently on the tax books with the county, and again, they have no use for it. It is certainly green space or open space, depending which way you want to describe it. Before I went to the group and started getting more involved and making commitments that, yes, the city would be interested in taking this property, I wanted to bring it to your attention and make sure this is what you would like to do. I'm basing everything off the fact that in the past, council has been very interested in open space and green space, and that's exactly what we have here. To acquire this acreage, we'll have to expend some legal fees, draw up some papers to talk about preserving this forest area as an environmental area that's not to be built on in the future. And getting the right language in so that if that's what you all want, that a future council cannot go ahead and say that, oh, yes, we'll sell the property now for some other reason. And also that they will know that we're not going to go ahead and make this into a park. You know, it's going to remain a wooded area. The only thing that Larry Morris and Public Works would do would be to maintain the storm drainage and the sanitary sewers that are in there, occasionally cut down some trees that might be dead, but a forestry management plan similar that we worked out with A. Colt in the past. So my request for you tonight would be that if you would like me to go forward, I will meet with their association. It would probably take 2 meetings. One, to answer any questions, make sure I understand exactly what they want, and then for us to drop the proper papers so that they can take a vote of their association to donate us the property. And then we'll be coming back to you, hopefully this fall, wintertime, asking you to officially accept this property into the city. So any questions you have, I'll try to answer them tonight.
Okay, thank you, Roger. Is anyone here from the Edgewood Manor Association?
No, there's no one
okay.
here.
Okay. How much are we talking about, the money that it would cost?
I would say that we're talking a few thousand dollars to survey it, and the attorney fees, we're not exactly sure what it would take. It depends on how... to what degree we develop the environmental management plan. I've talked to Dacre Stoker. He feels that ACOL could certainly help us with that and review it, and we would like to see their stamp of approval on it so that we're all in concert together as to how are we dealing with the open space property throughout Aiken County. So, I would say that we're talking several thousand dollars for attorney fees, and that could add up to as much as $5,000 to $10,000. But again, we have money set aside. We have $1 million to acquire open space. So we're not going to have to pay anything for the land. It's just the legal fees and the surveying that will entail.
Now, this land is wooded, I understand.
Yes,
I looked at a little bit of it.
Wooded.
Okay. So it wouldn't be any play area or anything like that necessarily.
No, we would. And again, that's why I want to meet with the Homeowners Association or Civic Association to make sure they totally understand that we're not planning on making this into a park.
Right.
That it would remain as a wooded area. And I would think for the people that back up to it, and there's probably 20 homes that back up to this area, that they don't want it to be cleared or made into a park. You know, they're used to seeing the woods behind them. There's about 80 properties altogether in Edgewood Manor.
Is anyone here that would like to speak on this issue? Okay. Any comments from council?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds okay.
It does sound good.
Sounds good.
I think it was so surprising to me to find out that there was another Edgewood.
I know.
And I read this and I thought.
It was confusing at first.
You know, but the, when I looked at the map and saw where it was, it's
okay. Do we agree then that we want Roger to go ahead and meet with the association,
yes,
and move it forward to us? Okay.
Now, it'll be several months before I'll come back with you on anything, but this will allow me to have our first couple of meetings out there, and it's going to be a similar situation to what we did in negotiating the acceptance and acquiring the sanitary sewer lines in Gem Lakes. Several meetings will take place. There will be a vote by the group for the city to go forward. But they're not going to vote on anything until they see exactly under what details we'll be accepting it. And then eventually we'll just annex it in the city because it is not in the city.
Okay. Well, this is the end of the second item in our work session. I'm going to take a couple-minute break, and we'll start at 7.
Jane Page doesn't stop by. She wants to be on the agenda.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting on July 9th, 2007. And we appreciate you being here. I'm glad you're here. If you would stand with us for our prayer and our pledge of allegiance.
Lord Heavenly Father, it's a privilege for all of us to be here this evening. And we just thank you for the great city we have, the great leadership that you have provided us with in this community, and for all those citizens who open themselves up to coming and discussing the various issues before us time in and time out. We ask that you again that you give us guidance and wisdom and discernment, Lord, so that we could hear all that needs to be heard and to sit down and to openly discuss all these issues. We thank you, Father, for all that you do in our lives. We ask that you be present this evening, and we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have one addition I'd like to ask council to approve to add to the agenda, and there may be others. Jane Page Gunnell has asked to talk for six minutes. Is that right, Jane Page? Huh? Without questions. Okay, so council don't ask you any questions. But no, seriously, she wants to talk about proposed residential guidelines to be added to the land development regulations of the city of Aiken. And I think it has primarily to do with subdivision of lots. But we'll hear you. Certainly we'll hear you out. We don't have a long agenda, so it won't be too long, I don't think. But we'll add it under petitions and requests. Anything else?
There's one other item. Okay. In the issues and updates is an item concerning the Red Cross building. I've had several council individuals who have asked me about that building and what we intend to do with it. And assuming that our meeting is fairly short tonight, I'd like to add that on to the agenda to get some direction at this time.
Okay. Discuss Red Cross building. Okay. All right. Anything else? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda then as we've discussed?
So moved.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. All in favor, show of hands.
pass this unanimously.
Okay, first item, the minutes. The consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of June 25th, 2007. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the minutes of June 25th.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under old business, first reading, second reading, and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1449 Moultrie Drive and 119 Savannah Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken. Certain property consisting of two lots of land located in Gem Lake subdivision to zone the same residential single-family RS-15. These two properties were not part of the original annexation that we had in 2005. Both would like to come to the city and have requested RS-15 zoning, which is exactly what we have in the rest of the area. The Planning Commission unanimously approved this annexation, and we're bringing this before you tonight as a second reading public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 119 Savannah Drive and 1449 Moultrie Drive under the RS-15 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance. So if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt this ordinance on second reading to annex the property at 119 Savannah Drive and 114 Moultrie Drive.
Okay.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 2 is second reading public hearing of an ordinance to transfer a lot to Beacon Corporation. This lot is in Tool Hill. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance approving the conveyance to Aiken Corporation of city-owned property consisting of a lot located in Tool Hill. A number of years ago, City Council passed an agreement, a memorandum of understanding, that we would sell to Aiken Corporation 12 different lots. 10 homes have been built to date, and we're asking Council to approve the transfer of another lot, which is at 1365 McCormick Street, to them so they could build another home. This, again, is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving the conveyance to Aiken Corporation this lot in Tool Hill for the purpose of a new home.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of this transfer of the lot to the Aiken Corporation in Tool Hill.
Okay.
I second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion?
No discussion with this, except to say, Mayor, that I hear almost once a week somebody uttering a comment, Roger, about Tools Hill and how beautiful it looks in that area. So if you haven't gone in that area at night, it's just beautiful to ride and see the lighting in the streets. And William and I were riding the area last night, and the kids are playing. They were shooting firecrackers last night. But it's obviously a healthy, safe neighborhood, and done a good job up there. Money well spent.
And East not right over there, right, Leslie? Leslie, East not right over there.
Right.
And I'll be telling them it was against the law to fire firecrackers in the city of Louis.
But they were firing them last
night. They're just little ones. Little ones are
right.
Tiny ones.
That's quite a difference over there. It looks very nice. Okay, excuse me. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passage announced. Under new business, item one, the only item, I guess, approval of the developer's agreement for addition to the Gem Lake subdivision. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We had a lengthy discussion at the last couple of meetings concerning the annexation of this property. And to solidify everything that we talked about, we have put together a developer's agreement, which is a legal document between us and the developer. In this case, it's Gall & Kistner, LLC, concerning that property. Some of the highlights of this, of course, based on what we had before, was all the new lots would be a minimum 1/2 acre in size, 2,000 square foot in heated area, be between 30 and 40. There would be a 3.5 to 4 acre green space and wetlands at the very end. But a couple of things that I wanted to highlight in here, one of them I did in my memo, and that's the fact that currently the roads in that area are 22 foot wide with asphalt, raised edge. And in a new subdivision, the roads will be a little bit wider, and there'll be concrete curb and gutter. But to match what's out there, the developer's agreement allows them to continue the same type of road to the throughout that subdivision. The one area that we had quite a bit of discussion between about five of us on staff, and that I'll try to convey and hopefully everybody to understand, is currently our regulations say that your road could only be X number of feet in length before it's a dead end. This far exceeds that length. So either they'll have to go back to the Planning Commission and ask for a variance on that, or they could go ahead and put in a stub out and connect to another road so that Moultrie will not be as long as what they originally had planned it to be. So they could either attach into Huron or they go into Lakeside. We had discussed the possibility of going and attaching into Huron, and there's some possibility there, but they don't have the final design. The other area that is listed in this agreement, and it is item number five. The developer may extend Moultrie Drive to a connection with Lakeside Drive. Now, let me tell you what the reason we've been discussing this at length within the staff. There is a 60-foot easement off of Lakeside Drive that goes down to property that Gall and Kisner currently own. They gave me a map, or someone gave me a map today of that property that if we need to look at it, we certainly can. In fact, let me just pass it. I'll start with Don and pass it this way. The 60-foot easement is highlighted on that map. It's a legal easement. It backs up to the where you would see the very end of the road right-of-way on Moultrie. So if they decide if they wanted to go ahead and put a road through that 60-foot easement, it could tie into Lakeside very easily. And it would just go to Mr. Evans, and he could go ahead and approve it or not approve it. The only reason I bring this up, if you pass it in the form it's in tonight, and there's nothing wrong legally with what the form it's in or anything else, and they decide they want to use that 60-foot easement, then the property owners on either side will have a road possibly going through, and they would not be aware of it. In other words, it'd be like you all of a sudden waking up one day and seeing that the wooded area next to you, all of a sudden there's going to be a road. Now, there's not going to be that many cars in that road, because people are not probably going to travel in that direction, but you might have 100 cars a day potentially on that road going to Lakeside Drive.
And that's not good.
And so there's a couple of different ways you could handle it. You could approve the agreement the way it is right now. You could approve it that item number five would state something to the effect that the developer may extend Moultrie Drive to connection with Lakeside Drive once a public hearing was held. Because again, I don't believe they know right now what they're going to do. Correct?
We would like to do it.
You would like to put the road through there. Okay. So saying that, again, you could approve the way it is and there would be no public hearing. You could approve it and there would be a public hearing just to, again, allow the people, and it only affects two individuals on either side of where that road would go. And the road would not carry that much traffic. It's exactly though what you've asked in all other developments, that there would be a connector road between two developments. I mean, it's what you have asked to be done. The only thing that it's just, I guess it's the way I look at it, it's no surprise. And right now, because no one, this is the first time it's come up, it would be somewhat a surprise to people in Gem Lakes, especially the two on either side. So that's the only item that I wanted to bring up. I'm sorry I have not had a chance to talk to Todd or Steve about this, because this has all just come up literally on Thursday, Friday, and today I was still getting more information. So that is the one item that you may want to talk a little bit more about.
Roger, explain this to make sure we understand. What are we talking about?
Right here.
Right there.
There's a 60-foot right. easement.
Okay, and that would connect to, that would come up like this.
Yeah. Right at the very end of what they intend at the other cul-de-sac.
Go up and connect into Lakeside.
Right, the Lakeside wraps around in here.
I'm sure you said this, but who owns the easement?
The easement, let's see, I had a piece of paper with that. Oh, who owns the easement, Mr. Smith? You have the piece of paper. Or do you know who owns the easement? Somebody owns it.
This is a hard approach to him, but that's the top of it. They're saying, this way. It would come maybe like this.
Waters Development Company.
Yes, sir.
Waters.
I don't want to get arrested. Steve Kisner. This was brought to our attention by Larry Morris a few weeks ago when we met to discuss the developer's agreement. And Larry told us that, he told us about this piece of property that has the 60-foot easement on it. And, of course, that was very interesting to us because that would eliminate the long cul-de-sac that we have in the preliminary design. He also indicated to us that the person that owns this property, which is a city employee that's on Savannah Drive, would like for us to do what we're talking about because he's got a just a gravel road right along his driveway that accesses the detention pond that the city now has or and the county has to get to. So. He would like to talk to us about extending multi-drive through this property, which we have not done yet. We were planned to do that before we finalize our plans. And also Bill Busser, who is working with the Jim Lakes Recreation Association, would like for us to do it also. So all of this came upon us within the last couple of weeks, so we're going to pursue this and hopefully can get it worked out to do the plan the way that map shows it.
Wasn't that in fact suggested by someone else tonight from Jen Lakes?
Yes.
The night of the second reading?
Yes, but I wasn't aware at that time about this property.
Oh.
That was Bill Busser that suggested it, yes.
It shows up, am I reading this right? It looks like there's 170 feet along Lakeside Drive.
I'm not sure of the road frontage, but that appears to be about right.
And so you'd just be doing a 22-5. You do the same kind of road you did everywhere else, right?
Right?
20 feet mm-hmm. wide, 22 feet wide.
Of the 170 feet that there, 60 feet was given as an easement.
So
of the 100.
Of the 170 feet.
Yeah, 60 feet.
60 feet is an easement.
On one side, then?
I don't know if it's one side or another.
What?
Maybe Mr. Morris will.
We were going to, our thinking was, of course, it would take some of our property to do it, but we would try to bring it out right in the middle of that property so that there would still be a wooded buffer
on
either
sides.
Side of the
That's
road.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
The property itself, the easement, is written into the deed, and the deed states that the easement may be located by survey anywhere on the property. The person who owns the property is Mr. Jeremy Hembree, and I have talked to him a couple of times concerning this. He is very interested in eliminating the gravel road, which goes immediately adjacent to his bedroom, and locating this road in the middle of the lot that he owns. The lot is unbuildable. It is not wide enough to have a structure on it. So having the roadway in the middle of it, of course, we would not clear 60 feet. We're not interested in that. The only thing would be done would be put the paving through there. But what that would do is that would allow access to our wastewater treatment plant pump station, and I can tell you that we do go there all hours. If that station hiccups and calls one of us, we are there. So there's been a lot of disturbing of Mr. Hembree's property at that point. And it also allows access to the detention pond there, as Roger had mentioned.
But,
yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, who actually owns the lot with the easement on?
Mr. Hembree.
So he also owns the adjacent lot?
He owns lot 12, which is where his home is located, mm-hmm. which is where my gravel road to the pump station is located, next to his bedroom. Mm-hmm. And he owns lot 11. And the pieces of paper with the map there are the two deeds where he did purchase that.
So is he donating this then?
The easement is already there. He has a legal obligation with that easement to allow it to be placed across the property.
So this would take the road farther from his home then?
It will take the road roughly in the middle of the wooded lot, which would allow a wooded buffer between his house and the road, and still allow a wooded buffer between lot 10, the home on lot 10, and the roadway.
And that would work with Mr. Kisner's plans as well then?
We think so. We don't have the final. Ask our engineering guys to proceed along those lines.
And I did meet with their engineers and discuss this with them, so they are aware of the possibility of doing that. The only thing that I will have to do once the roadway is changed is I will have to go back in and get the gravel out of Mr. Hembree's current lot and get the asphalt in it that's been destroyed over the years that we've destroyed, and then I will come to council with a request to deed back the 15 feet that we own on that lot because we will no longer need it.
Did he give that to the city many, many years ago, or did the previous owner maybe?
When the
deed it to the city?
When phase N of Jim Lakes was constructed,
okay.
That detention pond was required by the county. As a condition of the approvals, the 15 feet on that lot, specifically lot 12, had to be turned over to the county for access to the pond. In 1990, when we were locating our major pump stations, the Jim Lake pump station was located back adjacent to that pond, and we received permission from the county then to access the station that way. Mr. Hembree has not owned the property that long, but the previous owner did construct the house there and was aware of the easement, as was Mr. Hembree. But this is a way that he sees that can be remedied.
What are the drawbacks, if any, of proceeding with this plan?
I have to agree with Roger that the other residents along Lakeside Drive, of course, would not be aware of this. How many cars would go there? I don't want to hazard a guess, but I would think that very few would go there because the shortest route, really, is still going to be down Moultrie Drive. What this does allow is for an elimination of a very long cul-de-sac, not only in the Kisner development, but also Lakeside Drive. That is an extremely long cul-de-sac. It is a problem for us as far as utilities. We have to run all the way down and run all the way back with a garbage truck. It is a problem further for public safety that, you know, we always like to have double connections. That's one of the reasons that we do not like cul-de-sacs over 1,000 feet. So we would eliminate two problems with one stone. But there is the lack of notice for other homeowners. I don't think Mr. Hembree is going to object at all because he has indicated he was very willing to work with us on that. I have not talked to the property owner with Lot 10. I do not know who owns that property.
And in a sense, are we obligated to do this, give notice and post that then so that the other residents will learn of it before it's approved?
The easement is there. If Mr. Kisner wanted to construct his subdivision in such a way that he ended his roadway at that property, then Mr. Hembree could actually construct that roadway. He has a right to construct that roadway from Lakeside to connect to Mr. Kisner development, should he so desire. This is not something that is brand new. This has been there ever since Jim Lake's phase-in was approved. So I think that's the major difference. This is not something new. Plus the fact that, as Mr. Busser came up publicly at the first meeting and stated, the Recreation Association, who has been in contact with the bank to obtain some more of the land that is being reclaimed once the old treatment plant is gone, they want to access that land through this area. So I would think that through that alone, you know, we have had public comment here, and the Recreation Association is well aware of the, or I would think so. I'm speaking without total knowledge of that.
What does this do with your construction if this is postponed for another session until we, does this hinder you at all in terms of where you would need to go with your development and with your roadway?
When is your next meeting?
It'd be August 13th.
I don't see that as a problem. We, if you wanted to go have a public notice on this, it would not affect our timing.
Okay. I just think out of safety, I think the neighbors would appreciate that you wanted them to know what was happening, and letting them know in advance, and letting them know this is going to come back to City Council for approval. I don't see any problems, but just giving them some notice that this is going to take place.
I've really come to enjoy meeting with you people, and I look forward to meeting with you again in August.
Because it will get you nowhere.
Steve, we enjoy it too. So. But I think I think we all probably agree that that's the proper thing to do.
Yeah.
So let people, when we can, let people know what's happening.
This would go over very well with.
Our intentions were to meet with the two adjacent property owners before we did anything, mm-hmm. before we finalized the engineering anyway. So I think this is good. Okay, thank you.
Now, let me ask a question, not of you, Steve, necessarily, but Larry, your guidance, and Roger, too. How would we go about posting, or would we post something along the street, just advising, or how would we go about letting neighbors know?
We would post the property where the new road would go in and let them know that there's going to be a public hearing on August 13th for a proposed new roadway.
Okay.
It is music, Larry. You're not hearing things.
No, I was looking at the light that's blinking above me. I thought I was losing my vision there for a moment.
Okay.
So that, you know, we just let them know.
Sure. Now, if I understood, there's the right of way now. Legally, a road could be put in there.
There's an easement.
It is an easement.
Okay.
Legally, a road can be put in there to this adjacent property. The easement does exist.
Right. Legally, without any notice or anything else.
Right.
Could have been done years ago.
For any number of reasons, Carolina Utilities, when they were using that property, could have constructed a road through there into it without any notice whatsoever.
At the time, it wasn't needed because you didn't have any construction going on or no new homes down there, I guess. So the dirt road was plenty good enough to go to the pond and do what they had to do, right?
What Carolina Utilities actually did, I'm not sure they even had permission to do. They used the same roadway next to Mr. Hembree's bedroom to go into the detention pond and then into the spray field.
Oh, okay.
So whether or not they got permission from the county to do that, I do not know.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a good plan.
I have a question, Mr.
Sure.
Mayor.
Sure.
Number 10, using the raised edge asphalt shall be allowed in lieu of concrete curb and gutter. Is that in the entire development or just?
That would be in the entire development. We have asked council in the past season of time to essentially do away with raised edge asphalt. We cannot sweep raised edge asphalt streets properly. We can't maintain them properly. You know, when we end up finally doing the repaving. In this situation, we feel that it would be a good thing to go ahead and allow the raised edge for this development, since it would match the rest of Jim Lakes. The only only concrete curb that I can think of is the immediate entrance down near Woodside Executive Office Park. I think there's a little bit of concrete curb and gutter down there. Other than that, the rest of Jim Lakes is pretty much raised edge.
So this is what you're going to do throughout the city or just for this development?
Just for this development. If someone comes to us and wants to use raised edge, we try to look at that on a case-by-case basis. And unless there's a compelling reason such as this, then we do not want to see the raised edge.
I really have a hard time seeing that as a compelling reason, frankly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a contiguous new neighborhood. We've already made an exception as far as the open space, but we want to have concrete curbs, right? We do.
Concrete curbs and gutters, definitely better for us.
Or really just, it's not really a question of aesthetics. It's still enough separate that it's going to work out, I think, just fine if we do proper concrete gutters.
And that certainly would be one that we would be able to maintain the roads better. I don't think there's a question about that.
Yeah, I just think that's the way we ought to go.
What are you saying, Dick? Go with the curb and gutter or the raised edge continuing
as it is? Not this rolled asphalt thing, which is what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And it really crumbles. Driveways are hard to get to fit to it properly, and it really disintegrates over time, and it becomes a maintenance problem. And come to think of it, those roads are going to be ours to maintain, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Concrete.
Like the others that we've just recently brought in, the homes. Do you see some of this deterioration, Larry?
There is some deterioration on the some of the existing streets that's over there. We have been working with the highway department and actually did get a couple of the streets repaved. And then they did put the rolled raised edge in there. So it can be done. It's just a lot of extra asphalt and effort to maintain a street that way.
So Public Works is having a hard time with the concrete curbs and gutters?
Concrete curb and gutter is the best for us. Whenever we get a request to sweep a neighborhood, if it has raised edge, we're just very, very ineffective. I don't know of any sweeping equipment that works well with raised edge. We can sweep it, but it's just not going to be the quality job that you would see if there's something we can work against, such as the concrete.
Okay. There's a citizen out there that wants to speak, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, let's... this is a resolution.
Ms. Laura Marsh, and I live at 1277 Moultrie Drive. And I just want to bring to your attention that right now we do have concrete curbing on our road, down by where the dead end where Mr. Kisner...
Curb and gutter?
Yeah.
Down by your house.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm concerned about is your numbers 4 and 5 on here. If Mr. Kisner is not able to work this deal out on Lakeside Drive, at one point he was discussing about putting a road from Moultrie connecting around to Huron so that not so many people, like 30 plus houses of people, are coming down Moultrie, entering and exiting Moultrie, and I'm just concerned about that issue.
We discussed that last time about the possibility, I think, of what you're saying.
Yes.
Do you have any comments on that, Steve, as far as putting that road into Huron?
We don't plan to do that for this easement that's coming along.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But you would
prefer the curb and gutter?
Yes.
As far as the construction?
The concrete?
Right.
You mean the concrete?
Yes, ma'am.
To continue that, but I'd also like to be ensured that there's going to be some kind of egress other than Moultrie Drive. I just don't want that to slip through the cracks. That's just my main concern.
Right. Well, now, we talked about the possibility of the egress, and you just heard what we talked about.
Right.
And so that's a possibility, a very good possibility, it sounds like.
Okay. But I just want it on the record.
Just want, yes, ma'am.
That I'm concerned about this.
Right.
And
right.
We have to have, you can't be just multi-drive, having all the cars coming up and down the one road. It's just not going to be a good situation, I don't think.
Well, hopefully it won't be a problem with this cut through, so to speak, to Lakeside Drive.
Yeah.
We'll see. When we get together with the resolution.
Okay, I just want it on the record. I just don't want it to slip through the cracks. I don't know when we're allowed to come up and speak and when you make your final decisions. I just want it on the record that I'm concerned about that.
Okay.
I understand that Mr. Kisner's trying to work it out, but I just want it on the record.
Certainly. I appreciate that, and you've got every right to do that, and you can speak anytime you want to. But we will have a next meeting, which theoretically we would
decide.
We would decide at a next meeting, which would be the second Monday night in August,
okay.
The 13th, I think Roger said.
Thank you. And so you look into the concrete also, you'll discuss that?
Well, I think we're going to discuss it here and make it as, decide what we want to go in the development agreement.
Okay.
So you don't have a problem with this if, as long as the road that we've talked about is built through the easement that we've talked about?
I'd rather he put another road over to Huron, but if there's at least just one another road to go out, I'll be happy with that. But I would prefer he did what he said he was going to try to look into that, and I prefer that. But
yeah, again, because of the length of the road, I think that's the main concern. Okay. Mr. Kisner, do you have a comment that you'd like to make about the curb and gutter, one way or the other?
I guess the only comment is I wasn't aware there was any curb and gutter in Jim Lakes. I'm not disputing anyone's word here. I just wasn't aware of that. And our plan all along was to emulate what's there, which would be raised asphalt. If the council chooses to require us to do curb and gutter, we'll have to do it. But we'd prefer not to. My one concern is when you're tying one road into another, like if we extend Moultrie into Lakeside, and run a concrete curb into Lakeside, which has raised asphalt. I'm not sure how that's going to look or how we'll do that, but I'm sure we can work around it.
I can give you an example, Steve. Huntington Court, which you built a house on, is concrete curb and gutter. The road that it meets, which I have to live on, is raised asphalt.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we can do it.
Well, Frank, we're going to agree on something. I think that I like the look of rolled asphalt. I know it's not as... It looks more rural to me. It looks more... I don't know. It just doesn't look as... I don't like the look of bright concrete, frankly. And I think with all those trees out there and those big lots, I don't know. I just frankly don't... I mean, I doubt those street cleaners are going to be out on your road very often, frankly, at all.
I think I would agree with you on that, and I'd like to make sure it goes on record that Jane and I are agreeing on something.
I told you.
My name is Norm Garrett. I live on 119 Savannah Drive. If you walk down Savannah Drive up to... Lakeview Drive.
Lakeview.
It's curb and gutter up to Lakeview and it goes to the road.
Oh, okay.
So the old road, Savannah Road, obviously Savannah was one of the original roads coming in. It is the curb and gutter, and it goes into the road. And there's a couple other sections of the neighborhood the same way as I've walked around it. I believe Hartwell does the same thing as it comes in. So you're going to have a mixed match no matter what you do. You've got both there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, sir. Thank you, Norm. Anyone else like to discuss this subject? Okay. Do we have any recommendations by council here?
We're going to strike 10.
I don't know. Maybe I'll let the attorney speak, but I just wanted to know what the ordinance currently says, and it says that the Public Works Director has the right to recommend the kind of road that goes into a development, and I don't know if he's saying he's doing it to match it or saying it because Larry is saying that he prefers it to be rolled asphalt. Okay. And I'd like clarification on that point. Is if Larry is saying it's his idea, then I think it's
a couple of years ago we passed new subdivision regulations that required all new subdivisions to have concrete curb and gutter and a certain width for the roadway. Mm-hmm. The only exception would be that if the Public Works Director, in this case Larry Morris, deemed that there was some practical reason why not to do this. Mm-hmm. I questioned the same thing of Larry a week or two ago, saying why asphalt raised edge when we're requiring everything else to be curb and gutter. And he aptly pointed out that all the roads, except for a few, are asphalt raised edge out there, and therefore Moultrie and Huron both would be matching into another asphalt road. And so not to, again, have concrete and asphalt and now have some more concrete, he just thought it would be better to match what was currently out there. But our ordinance, our subdivision regulations state that all new subdivisions would be concrete curb and gutter. And that's what we stay by, unless there, again, is some very good reason. Another reason you might want to have asphalt raised edge would be a case where if you're trying to save some certain trees, understand that a concrete curb and gutter, all you see is the top 6 inches of that curbing. There are additional 14 inches below the ground that you don't even see. So to put in concrete curb and gutter, you have to dig a fairly deep trench, and that kills a lot of the tree roots that are currently in those areas. And so in some areas, if you're trying to wind around trees or some other areas, you do not put in concrete curb and gutter for that very reason, i.e. the very reason we went ahead on Edgery extension, and we did not put a concrete curb and gutter because we were trying to save the trees that were in that area.
Given as the reason in this particular case, it was really a matter of...
They got a lot of trees in there, too.
Just trying to match them, those areas.
They had a lot of trees out there, but they cut them off.
Given the mishmash already, as someone said.
Roger, if I could, if we're going to continue this so that it's going to come before us at the next council meeting, could we not... Would that not afford us a better opportunity to get out there and take a look for ourselves? And
we don't have to vote on anything tonight. In fact, this will be continued to the next meeting. Mm-hmm. You all might want to go out there and take a look at Huron and Moultrie and see what's out there. To see, I'm going to keep the ordinance the way it's not an ordinance, the developer's agreement the way it is right now, which is item number 5, tying into Lakeside Drive through this easement that we've discussed, and that items number 9 and 10 would consider the asphalt curb and gutter raised edge and having a 22-foot roadway. Now, at the next meeting, if you want to change any of that language, we could certainly do so once you have a chance. I only brought that up tonight so that you'd be aware. I didn't want somebody to come back later on and say, well, why in the world are we doing this when I thought we were doing curb and gutter concrete? Why are we putting this road in here and no one knew about it? It was just, and I think for Steve and Todd, they've been very open on everything, and this just allows the neighbors, and I don't think there's going to be a major objection by those neighbors. We obviously know one of them feels very good about it already. And there'll be a buffer, as Larry said. If you look at that, it's 170 foot wide, and there'll be about 55 feet on either side where this easement's going to be, and the 60 foot easement, only 22 feet of it's going to be road. So you're going to have about 75 feet on either side that is going to stay a green space area. But this will be continued to the next meeting, so a decision does not need to be made tonight.
Do you need a motion?
No, let's ask Larry, before you sit back down, please. My opinion, after hearing what you had to say, was that your preference would be curb and gutter, I think.
That's my preference, is concrete curb and gutter. Okay.
I just wanted to know what your preference was before we go out and look at it and what have you.
On this street, too?
If we're not having to match, and as the resident said, you know, I just missed it. I didn't think there was any curb and gutter there on Moultrie.
There isn't.
But the resident said that there is. So if it's got curb and gutter there already that's concrete, then that's what we need to match. We need to match Moultrie. And that would be my recommendation, is to match Moultrie then that way. But as Councilman Smith pointed out, we've got mismatches in other places, including Woodside. So that can be done. I think there are very good reasons to have the concrete curb and gutter, and that is always my preference, unless there's a reason. In this case, all I was trying to do was match what was there.
Okay. Well, appreciate your opinion.
Yes, sir.
On that. Okay. Okay. Do we have a motion and a second to continue this, then?
Yes. So move, Mr. Mayor, that we move this to our next scheduled public meeting, and that's August. What date, Roger?
13.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously to continue it. Okay. We added two things to our agenda under the petitions and requests. Jane Page.
While Jane Page is coming up, Mr. Mayor, I just want to comment to Mr. Kistner that your congeniality, in addition to your wanting to really work with this neighborhood, needs to be stated. I've just observed you at our last hearing and this hearing in terms of really wanting to make this neighborhood look the best that it possibly can, and you need to be applauded for that.
Subject has to do with subdividing property, if I understand correctly.
Jane Page Thompson, 240 Knox Avenue. I'm going to read my proposed residential guidelines to be added to the land development regulations of the city of Aiken, South Carolina. Subdivision of lots within a downtown business district, historic overlay district, Old Aiken Master Plan District, or Horse District, in parentheticals, or each district itemized, that convert their use from commercial uses to residential uses shall comply with the same residential requirements as stated in the zoning ordinance, for example, or as follows. Parent parcels under an acre that are submitted for subdivision, re-subdivision, or variances, in parentheticals, or any and all submissions necessary itemized for application for residential use shall ensure that each new lot has a minimum lot area of 8,000 square feet, minimum lot width of 70 feet, minimum front yard setback of 20 feet, minimum side yard setback of 15 feet, minimum rear setback of 20% of the lot depth, not to exceed 50 feet, accessory building setback of 10 feet to the side and rear of the lot, maximum height of 35 feet to the final exterior's highest point, including elevator housings, knee walls, and parapet walls. Land area per principal dwelling minimum square feet or access area 8,000 square feet. All new lots with a newly subdivided parcel shall have required open space beyond the required entrance median and shall consist of a minimum of 40% of the total size of the parent parcel. Subdivision application size parcels over an acre plus up to 5% to 2 acres flat shall comply with the residential zoning ordinance for RS-10. Parcels 2 acres plus up to 5% and above shall comply with residential zoning ordinance RS-15. Parenthetical, the 5% up or down is to allow for fractional parcels and to protect against lot size manipulation. Parent parcels can apply for compliance to a higher standard, but not to a lower standard. The red type notes are to Planning Commission, so they will recreate residential regulations in compliance to the current city standards and not avoid addressing submitting any guidelines back to council for inclusion because of this neophyte's misuse of terms or any other issue that may arise from the verbiage of this specific request. In May of 2006, the neophyte misworded her request of council to add residential guidelines for the downtown business district in order to protect Aiken's historic character from buildings that are not in keeping with her style and that do not conform to the Aiken aesthetic. I ask this of you after several constructions or planned proposals had been made public, i.e. the townhouses on Park Avenue and the Ryber building on Park Avenue. I ask City Council, because you not only have the authority and the power, but you also have the duty to make this a priority of the Planning Commission. Given the current rate of Planning Commission's ability to address its action items on its action list, it will be 3 to 5 years before residential guidelines in the downtown business district are even considered back to you, much less voted on and made a part of land development regulations. I am at a loss, first of all, as to why we as a city have adopted land development regulations that are in direct conflict with the standard of the zoning ordinance. And I hope that you will act quickly and decisively in order to have Planning Commission address this issue now before it becomes too late to protect the historic character, aesthetic, and charm of Aiken's downtown district. Other areas that I'd like you to include that I did not include because it's a can of worms, and that would be off-street parking. Another thing is multifamily and attached housing. Thank you. That's my 6 minutes.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you say?
Mr. Mayor.
Just kidding you. Just kidding.
Yes, I
understood
ma'am.
Every word you said.
Well, you said off-street parking and
attached and multifamily housing. I'm asking this as single-family detached right now. But you need to have them create guidelines for attached townhouses, or let me use the term brownstones, because the Ryber building, if we use that as an example, is attached housing. It's not detached housing.
Okay.
There are no single family detached residential standards for lots in the downtown business district that get converted from a commercial use to residential use in the land development regulation as it stands today. It means, and I will let you know this, on Wednesday I am filing an appeal of the decision of the Planning Commission about the Legree Morgan House. That particular 1.5 acre lot is an example of a situation whereby City Council was not made aware of a 5-lot subdivision with an 8,000 square foot detention pond, a 1.6 acre common area that was going to be put behind one of Aiken's most historic houses. And there wasn't a public outcry about it because it went to Planning Commission for a direct decision, and Planning Commission unanimously voted on it, not completely understanding what they were doing due to some secretarial issues and some other things, and not knowing that they had a unilateral authority given to them by you as a council to suggest anything that they wanted to. They just thought they were scared of putting an apartment building back there. Well, the Historic Commission wouldn't let that happen. So it got approved. Nobody in the town even knew it was happening until it was too late. And I don't think that is the road that you as a council would like any more of these commercial to residential conversions to go. I know that Councilman Wells is behind me on this, requiring green space and open space on these things. And I'm sure that Ms. Waters will back me up 100% that we need setbacks, off-street parking, and we need requirements for these buildings. And I don't know about the rest of you. I know Mr. Smith and I have jawed about this a lot, but this is an issue that you all need to not ignore anymore. I asked you in May of last year to consider this. Mr. Smith gave you his opinion. He agreed that there was merit to doing this. It's about time the Planning Commission heard it. Of that 27-item action list, they've only done 5 things, Mr. LaDuke, is that right, in the last year. This needs to be number one next week, next Thursday or this Thursday. Their last meeting, the Planning Commission met for 45 minutes. They had plenty of time, you all being here till midnight some nights, they had plenty of time to at least address 3 or 4 of their items.
Oh, okay, we'll talk about that. No one's here to talk, to defend themselves, so to speak, from the Planning Commission, so I'd rather not have discussion about that. What do you mean only 5 items out of 27 that the Planning Commission...
I'll defer to Mr. LaDuke.
Yeah.
the Plan Commission, every year you come up with the top 10 listing.
Right, right.
So far they've gotten through 5 of the 10 that this, you've come up with.
This year?
This year.
From
there's a number of other items that never made the list because we stopped at item number 10.
Yeah, but that's this year. We're still in the middle of the year.
This was last year, 2006, when the item action agenda for 2006 was up for approval. I asked you to add this as an action item then. It wasn't done. We now have the Farmer Building. We now have the Legree Morgan Building. We now have Mr. Stevens coming back to you with more townhouses mm-hmm. or a mixed-use purpose. I think you guys need to realize this is a priority.
Is this on their list now, Roger?
No, it is not.
It's not
on their list.
And Mr. Evans, is he out there?
Yeah, he's out there.
Mr. Evans suggested that I bring to you all what I think you should do. And I think that in the land development regulations, if somebody's going to go from commercial to residential, the minimum they should have to comply to is what the zoning ordinance requires in residential for that square footage anyway.
Absolutely.
And that's not the case now. The Planning Commission, in its last meeting, approved the highest density single family in Aiken, RS4. If you apply the residential zoning ordinance application to what they approved at the Legree Morgan House, how that is in keeping with the overall purpose of zoning being the intent of protecting the character of a historic town and its integrity, I cannot find why. I have met with several lawyers in Columbia, therefore the appeal will happen because there is no standing for this. So I think you all need to be preemptive and proactive, and let's not dwell on what's happened in the past. Let's go forward. Let's get it on the Planning Commission's action list. Let's do something to protect our downtown when these commercial properties go into residential.
Well, I think we all agree that we want to protect the downtown and the whole city for that matter. When does your appeal come up?
I will be writing it tomorrow, and I will be filing it on Wednesday all by myself. I didn't have a lawyer write it because I don't want it to be presented as adversarial. And Mr. Smith will have advice of it on Thursday.
And when will the decision be rendered, do you know?
Well, I could be really adversarial and ask for a judge to read it immediately in order to either determine whether they should halt construction until a judge reads it or be allowed to continue and then have to replace anything that they do should the judge rule in my favor. But I wasn't going to do that. I was just going to ask the judge to read it when he had time,
mm-hmm.
which would be September.
Okay. Ed, do you have anything to add to this discussion from the Planning Commission? Has the Planning Commission seen this?
No.
These things, the comments that Jane Page has made?
According to Planning Commissioner Giobi, he has asked for this numerous times of his commission to consider and has been put off by the chairman.
Again, a Planning Commission member cannot bring up an item like this. This would have to be on the action agenda before they really will discuss this. And we try to go in order on the planning. You know, first, Council's clarification, the items that they're working on right now is to update the traffic management ordinance. There's amendments to land development regulation regarding maintenance and guarantees, creation of institutional zone, evaluation of uses within limited professional that still is being looked at. And then you've asked them to expand the comprehensive plan area to the south and to the east. So those are the remaining items that they're still looking at this year, which, believe me, it'll take them all the rest of this year and probably into next year before they'll finish these items.
Do any of those action items, forgive me for interrupting you, Mr. Mayor, do any of those action items already have regulation in place where there is already some sort of recommendation or guideline in place to handle those, or is it a situation like this where there's absolutely nothing?
Three of them have something already in place, but the council feels it's important that they be updated, like the traffic management ordinance.
Well, I really feel that when you've got nothing, you got to get something on paper. It's sort of like the tattoo parlors, you know. You can only ignore it for so long until all of a sudden you're faced with a citizen who's standing here saying, I'm going to have to file an appeal because you all neglected to put regulations in there. And the city council, it's your duty to make sure that citizens have somewhere to look when they're trying to define what can be done and what can't be done. So I think the Planning Commission needs to look at this within the next 2 weeks. I mean, it's that important of an issue. There are so many lots in the downtown business district at jeopardy here. if you all don't, if you all take another year to even think about it again, then they take another 3 years to get to it because it's number 27 on the action item list, or it doesn't even make the action item list. The historic character of our downtown is going to be gone. We're going to have farmer buildings everywhere.
I think we need to address off-street parking as well along with this. I think that is a real issue, that if we start having more and more residential downtown and people are parking two and three cars on the streets of downtown, we've got an issue. So I would not like to leave that off. I do think that we've already seen some problems with no setbacks, no nothing required, and it has to be thought through, I grant you, but this to me is a much more imminent problem. I agree with Jane Page on that than some of these other things that we're addressing, and not quite as widespread. In other words, maybe could be addressed in a shorter span of time, addressing particular problems that we've already seen. That's just my thought.
Okay.
In times past, we have looked at the action agenda and have shifted some items, and maybe we need to take a look at what their action agenda is at this time, and if this is pressing to the majority of council, maybe we need to look at moving this in a position, because we just did this not too long ago with something else that was pressing us that was really important at the time. And I think it might be we just need to get a list of the agenda items and look at where we could put something lower if we had to.
Ed, I'd like to ask you if you would tell us your thoughts on this subject and where it might go on the list. You know what's going on and on various issues that are being worked on maybe partially at this time and where it might fit in if council decides they want to change.
Yeah, and again, just got the traffic management ordinance is probably one of the bigger items. The creation of an institutional zone that's for schools, etc., is a pretty big item. It's going to take several months to create that zone because you're looking at not just public schools, you're looking at private schools, you're looking at universities. I know the university has talked to us about the possibility of annexing, and it's just going to take lots of work.
I don't know that anything takes the place, however, of our downtown. We've got a unique downtown, and if we need to protect it as best we can possibly do. And the institutional zone, we've been talking about that for 5 years, and it's finally made the list, but I'm still not, I don't think it comes up in comparison to what we're talking about. If what I understand Jane Page has just told us and what's here, and granted, I have to do a little bit of study myself to understand some of the aspects of what you said. But what does it look like to you, Ed, as the planning director?
It being the status of what the planning
where would we put? How important is this to you? And where would we put it in the list if we were to say, let's put it in the list?
Again, I have not read that. I think I know what Jane Page is getting at.
Okay.
If you could explain DB historically and how those have developed in most towns, as you and I discussed.
Generally, and this is not the result of a scientific study, but generally I think it's safe to say that in most downtowns, the zoning regulations are... lax may not be the right word. You typically don't have minimum lot sizes or lot widths or setbacks, that kind of thing. Downtown is intended to be a high-density, compact, walkable kind of area. And our zoning ordinance reflects that. I mean, we don't have any minimum lot size. We don't have any minimum lot width. There's no setbacks, no off-street parking. What impact that has on how the downtown develops, or the downtown business district, or Old Aiken, is probably worth talking about. What the right answer is, I don't know. But So, I mean, I think Jane Page's concerns are legitimate. Where it should fall on the priority list is, you know, that's tough to answer. Just to run through the list, the Planning Commission is talking about the underground wiring issue, and that, it, again, relates to the hospital distribution line that was put above ground. They'll be talking about that again tomorrow, and they'll probably make a recommendation maybe at the September meeting. They've made a recommendation on electronic signage, which is with you right now. They made a recommendation on public notice for text amendments to the zoning ordinance and land development regulations and decided not to make any amendments but to use the city newsletter to publicize those changes. Then there's number four was tree protection being based on zoning and not use, and I think that's going to be coming back to you in some form in the next month or two. Number five is updating the traffic management ordinance, which they will start discussing tomorrow. And, I mean, we can certainly, you know, obviously it's your call, but if you think it's urgent, then the decision would be whether to go ahead and deal with this issue or deal with the traffic management ordinance next. I mean, if you're asking me my opinion on Jane Page's concerns and the other items on the current action agenda, I would tend to agree that this is probably worth talking about sooner than those other items on the list, with the possible exception of the traffic management ordinance. I'm not sure where I'd come down on that.
Let me just say, I'm trying to come to some understanding here. When I look back within 10 years, I look across the street, we had an old rundown gas station next to the Weeks building that sat there for years looking horrible. We cleaned that up. The Pain and Body place, we cleaned that up. The theater sat vacant for I don't know how long. We got a buyer there to clean that property up. Where Greg Ryberg's property is, that sat there built an old yellow building that looked horrible. And what I'm trying to understand is whether that was charming to our community or whether what is there now is more charming. The present, whether it looks better presently, or the old Paint and Body Shop, the old station that was there, the old yellow building that was there, where is the connection and the charm? We talk about keeping Aiken's charm. I think we've helped to improve his charm with those things that are there. And then I'm trying to understand, too, I know we don't want our town to look typical of every other town. How can we further enhance, based on what you're saying, Jane Page, how can we further enhance that and still encourage people to improve properties within the area as well? I just don't want to pour water on people helping to improve what we already have. And this is my personal opinion. I think we've improved, we've enhanced properties that were left that looked pretty horrible to me personally.
Ed, let me ask you a question, if I may. In light of the recent construction in downtown, how would these proposed guidelines have changed any of the construction that we've seen within the past 2 years?
Again, I haven't read this, so I'm not sure. I mean, I think Jane Page's concern, again, is primarily detached single family, the houses that are going behind 10 Downing Street. And those are individual houses on individual lots. The lots are roughly 4,000 square feet. I mean, I guess that's the primary question. Is that consistent with what you want to see downtown? And it may be. I'm not saying it's not, but I think that's her concern. And that's the main issue.
And I can see her concern there versus what we have, preserving what we already have. And not, when we got a charming piece of property, why destroy that piece that looks charming? Those others that I named, they needed improvement, and we helped to enhance the town.
And they weren't single-family detached.
Right.
just to correct one thing, I thought Jane Page said that there was no design review for... Okay, I'm sorry. There is design review for residential development in the downtown business district, the downtown overlay, whether it's attached or detached single family. The houses behind 10 Downing will have to get approval from the design review board.
But
how about the size of the lot, though?
Not the lot size.
Yes. That's your concern. You could have a multitude of them on small lots. And
well, you all don't even have an RS4 zoning in the zoning ordinance. Why do you give Planning Commission the unilateral authority to approve something that's RS4 when you wouldn't even consider it putting it in the zoning ordinance? That alone is a big concern, is that if this is the first one that has happened, how many more are going to come? How many other donut holes are we going to find in our regulations the hard way after something's already been unanimously approved? Because let me tell you, appealing it is not an inexpensive procedure. So I think that is something you all need to consider. And to address Councilwoman Price, I agree with you. But remember last year in, I think it was September, I had to come to you all and ask you all to uphold my right to light and air in my office building. That was single-family detached townhouses going up next to my office building. Mm-hmm. He could have put that wall right on literally the glass that is my office window. You all, thank goodness, had the foresight and then the historic design review had the initiative to grant me my right to light and air and made him put his driveway there with a 15-foot access. So in what I'm proposing to you, I'm having that request because there are other buildings downtown that have side windows that shouldn't have a big giant brick wall sitting right on the glass of their windows.
Right.
Another issue that I don't know if we want to get involved with this or not, Leslie, I just wanted to mention this to you, is several merchants have mentioned to me recently that they get concerned when retail business disappears from downtown CBD streets, that there needs to be a certain, I mean, we've been very good about protecting neighborhoods immediately adjacent to downtown and not letting business filter out into residentially zoned areas.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, we really want our downtown to be full of as much retail as we can get where we have retail zones. And I don't know, maybe if it were more stringent, you know, if our requirements, if it's going to turn to residential, I don't know. That's just another thought, and I don't have a solution tonight.
Well, you know, one thing that we had discussed earlier, as a matter of fact, in the work session, Jane, I think is, you know, in putting the railroad depot down Park Avenue, that's going to revitalize those shops there, which, you know, hopefully that's going to create the traffic that we need down there to pull shoppers down that way, mm-hmm. to give someone a reason to go down mm-hmm. there, and then in turn walk by these stores that are now located down Park Avenue. I mean, for quite some time now, we've needed to enlarge the footprint of our downtown shopping area, you know, which we've tried there on Pendleton. You know, we've tried to do something to draw people that way.
You mean in already commercial zones?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's right. We have a lot of commercial zones that are not being used mm-hmm. to their potential because mm-hmm. no one goes down there. Mm-hmm. And I think that this railroad depot is going to increase the traffic down on that end of Park Avenue. It's going to give people a reason to go down there. And in doing so, I think it's going to revitalize those retail outlets down in that area.
I just worry that residences downtown are nice, but that if that's all there is to go look at, we're going to be sad.
I agree with you.
I thought you might.
Or real estate offices.
Absolutely.
Or real estate offices. I'm going to add all those real estate offices that followed us downtown.
Well, that's another story. But
okay, we need to do something with this. We need to take some action to
not tonight, I don't mean that necessarily.
Just, Mr. Mayor.
We need to get something going to study this, to really point out what we need to do first. What comes first, second, and third here? And where do we, how do we approach?
I think a statement to Planning Commission saying that to amend the land development regulations, just simply stating that should you have somebody come to you with a subdivision, those lots need to conform to our existing zoning ordinance for if it were in a residential district, because the off-street parking issue and the green space issue and all of those things should come into play. And then it wouldn't take as much time as the traffic study would take, because that's going to be a long time.
Actually, I, if you don't mind, Jane, I'd like to talk about the traffic management ordinance. And everyone knows I believe it needs to be updated.
Yeah, we all do.
But is the Planning Commission really the place for that update to take place? Shouldn't that really be the traffic management,
our traffic consultant, looking at that? I think it's a big job. And have the consultant look through it, see where the weak points are, make recommendations to the Planning Commission that they can deal with rather than starting from scratch.
Certainly, if that could move it faster, that's the thing to do with that issue.
It would certainly get that out of the way of the Planning Commission now, and they can take up some of these other things. Am I way off base here?
They may have Roger Dyer coming to talk with them on the issue.
Roger Dyer has already reviewed it and has given some recommendations.
How long ago did he do that?
In the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so it's a... And he's given recommendations of the Planning Commission, so they should be fairly close to doing whatever they're going to do, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that, because they have not started talking about it. Tomorrow will be the first time they discuss it, and I don't know where it's going. So it could take one meeting.
I mean, I don't want the same experience we had the first time, which took 2.5 years for them to talk about it.
Could we not send this to the Planning Commission and have them take a look at it and come back to us with a recommendation?
I think so, Don. That's the proper place to go with this. But we need to give them some instructions, I think, as to where to put it.
That's correct.
Now, in the past, also, we've had some task groups break out, and we've looked at issues, a couple issues at the same time. And I don't know if that's a possibility, too. I mean, if we get hung up and say, well, we can't possibly look at this for 2 or 3 months, maybe we could have one or two of the commissioners working with you or with someone to maybe come up with some recommendations to give to the full commission.
Right. That's certainly a possibility. My immediate reaction to the idea of another committee to work with is... No, thanks. I think the issues are clear enough.
I don't mean another totally out of planning. You know what I mean.
Sure, right. But to create another task force or
subcommittee.
Which works.
Well, one or two of the Planning Commission?
Yes.
One or two of the commissioners.
Yes, they can do
Bill
that.
Bill Reynolds took one item.
Sure.
There's been several examples of where they took, one or two of them took an issue and worked it.
The problem we have with that is it still takes up a lot of staff time, and staff is working with two or three other task force right now. If it was just that one or two commissioners and they did everything on their own, but they are looking for research and help from staff.
Sure, and I understand that.
My thought is that Jane Page has proposed something. Why don't we have a joint meeting of the Planning Commission and Council, with her in the audience and whomever else wants to come and discuss this, and see where we want to go with some recommendations after having that discussion.
Well, we could certainly do that, but I think we can handle it a little bit easier than just sending this back to Planning Commission. This is what we'd like the Planning Commission to talk about, spend a few minutes talking about it at their meeting. Even tomorrow, you meet tomorrow, and I mean, you could spend 30 minutes talking about it. Here, we've spent about an hour, I guess, almost.
And is that fair to them?
And we only tend to speak 6 minutes, but no, I'm kidding. This is an important, we all recognize this is an important subject, and I don't know why they couldn't get some feel for it.
Okay.
One other thought that occurs to me is instead of the Planning Commission, this is really the downtown we're talking about. Why not have Design Review Committee look at it and see if it could be added to their suggestions, the way they do it, rather than make it strict regulation, but rather guidelines for the Design Review Committee.
Carla Cloud is smiling up, and she's anxious to get this and work it for us.
She'd be a good one to charge of this issue.
I just want to make a comment to that, Councilman Smith. The design guidelines are there. What we don't have is something to tell the Planning Commission what they should do in the land development regulation. The design guideline review is there. Their task is there. It's apparent. The problem is that the Planning Commission doesn't know what to do in this case. And I think that it's...
But you're saying the design review doesn't say you got to have a door?
Design review does. Design review is fine. Those guidelines are in place. They're fine. They exist, and they're working. What's not working is Planning Commission's comprehension, understanding, and ability to accept direction from the land development regulation as it pertains to single-family conversion in the commercial downtown business district. That's what doesn't exist at all.
Yeah, there's no regulations in our land development right now. So when the Planning Commission looks at an issue like this, there's absolutely no regulations on anything. So what we're asking to be done is to really create a whole new set of documents that would fall within the land development regulations for guidance for the downtown, not guidance, but to regulate what's done in the downtown area. So we're creating a whole new document. It does have to go before the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission does need to approve it, and then City Council will need to approve it for it to become an official action. But right now, it's kind of like we're starting at ground zero. There's nothing there to fall back on and say, well, we're going to build upon what's already there. The only thing that's already there is what we currently have in other zones or other areas. But in DB, basically anything goes right now.
You made a comment, I think, a little while ago that, well, you could just overlap, you could just the zoning ordinance.
Defer to the zoning ordinance.
Now, that sounds like it'd be a quick way to do it, but certainly there's some changes, there'd be some changes in there you'd have to make.
Right. Well, the council has given Planning Commission autonomy and authority to make variance decisions based on the land development regulations. They do not have to conform to the higher standard that the Board of Zoning Appeals has to conform to. So therefore, you've basically given a commission of council complete authority to do whatever they want to. And guess what? You don't have any say over what they've done. And I elect you. I don't elect the Planning Commission.
Well, we don't have any say over design review.
Yeah, but I understand that. But this in this particular case, since there is no guideline, you've got to get a guideline in place at least. And then that way, pending ordinance doctrine would at least protect any more of these projects that are down the pipeline.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
You're 6 minutes. Jane Page, did you say this development passed the Planning Commission unanimously?
Yes, ma'am, it passed Planning Commission unanimously. There was a typo on the memorandum that said any appeal would come to City Council. That was a staff typographical error. However, several of the commissioners saw that and somehow believed that it was going to go to City Council anyway. But it did become... They could start building on July 19th. They could start building those five houses behind the LaGree Morgan house.
And there was no discussion?
There was public notice. However, the sign got moved, so it was really confusing as to whether or not it was the Red Cross building that was up for application or whether it was the LaGree Morgan house. Then the other issue was that several of the major organizations that are on task force for overseeing this, you know, Smart Growth and the Historic Aiken Foundation, all had conflicts with the fact that they were either involved in the development financially or professionally. So neither of those two groups stepped forward to be at the meeting that night. So basically, Don and I were the only two people there other than applicants, right? So, I mean, this is a major thing that just happened in nobody knew what was happening, and it sort of just sort of skidded under the radar, and I just don't want Aiken to have any more of that happen. It's too important of an issue.
Okay, we need to decide the path forward here before we leave tonight, I think. And we need some path forward.
Well, I think
who's going to do what? First step, second step, third step, maybe?
The first step is to get this in front of the Planning Commission, and at least for them to review.
And Roger, would you make the statement, I mean, point out that there is no regulation at this point in time, and the concern, this is a concern that this needs to be developed quickly. I agree, Beverly was, and I were talking, I don't see that this should take months and years. I mean, I would think this would be something, again, where we could identify problems and address them, and then...
Again, it's not something that's going to take months and years, but it is going to take time because there is nothing here currently to build off of. And it's an issue that the Planning Commission has not heard at all. I mean, we could go ahead and give this to them tomorrow, but they won't be able to really talk about it tomorrow.
Right.
Because tomorrow they're going to be talking about, hopefully, the traffic management ordinance.
They could at least start thinking about it.
They could start thinking about it. Then we could maybe in August or September and move this as the, you know, and council could amend the agenda, action agenda, anytime you want to. So we can move this in front of everything but the two items that they're discussing right now, which is the underground and one of the wiring. That's one item they're dealing with. And the traffic management ordinance, these the other item. I think those need to keep moving forward, and then they can stick this as the next major item that they'll tackle, which means that probably this fall they'll be able to it.
I think those words, some of the words should be said tomorrow at the meeting by someone, Ed or whoever. If this is coming from City Council, we'd like for you to take this. The thought from City Council is that it would come right after the traffic management ordinance. The thought, you know, that's not necessarily the word, but that's kind of the plan. If Council agrees with that. But at least, as it's been said, to give this to them, let them think about it so that in the next meeting it can be discussed. Does that make sense to you?
Sure. And again, I don't... The Planning Commission is meeting tomorrow. If they're meeting in August, they, if this is given to them tomorrow, unless you wanted to go ahead of the underground wiring and the traffic management ordinance, I don't want to guarantee that they're going to cover this item in August. You know, this will be the third item. Two of them are already going on, and then this will be the third one.
Are we prepared here tonight to say that we want it to go ahead or to come right after the traffic management ordinance? It sounds like it to me. I know these other things have been important, too, for various reasons.
If you could. Mr. Mayor, I want to say something that's in the back of my head that I want to bring it forward about this.
Sure.
You know, I like space around me, and I can't imagine living when Jane came to us with that building coming so close to where she had to work. I was concerned about that. But are we not sure we're not going to force them into doing more attached homes, going taller with them, by saying that they can't do some of what they want to do here? The fact that you had smart growth people involved in the development of the property, and that's what I understood you to say to begin with, means that they had looked at all aspects of it and maybe decided that what the way they went was the best way to go. But I just want you to know that if when we disallow some things, it means that we are kind of steering people into another direction.
Certainly.
And which way do we want them to go? Do we want more attached houses like the ones across the street? Do we want more of those, or do we want to deal with these smaller houses on these small lots? And I think that's what Planning Commission is going to wrestle with. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll mention this. I'll feel them out. I'll see how they feel about it. But I just want to say that when you start steering them away from one way, they're going to look at doing something else, and we are going to need to decide which look is the best look for us. Is it the attached houses? Or is it smaller single-family homes? And we have to look at that. And I do feel responsible, in fact, to look at that. But I just wanted to bring that out. It hasn't been said that when we start saying you have to have 8,000 square feet, then financially they may not see the worth in doing it that way, and they may want to go another way.
Sure.
So let's think about that when we start sending this on to Planning Commission.
Mr. Mayor, let me just say that you've seen the length of time we've taken to have this discussion. My good conscience tells me that we need to provide this information to the Planning Commission for them to review. Let them have the privilege of the full discussion that we just engaged in, so that they will have a full impression of the dynamics of this kind of conversation. And you do that as a joint body. Now, if we decide that, hey, after the discussion, we want you to take this on and let's move forward aggressively, then that will be done with a joint body. But for us to give this to them and say, here it is, take it and run with it, bring us some results, that's not a fair setting when it's taken us this long to have this discussion and we don't know where we are.
But I think in as much as they just dealt with the issue with the last at their last meeting, they just dealt with it, and now you have someone appealing their decision, which doesn't come directly to us. I feel that I need to mention to them what is going on and let them know that they may be able to shed light, since none of them are here tonight. There may be an element of the discussion that we just have not brought out yet.
But I think we're all entitled to hear that. I'm not saying not to bring it forward.
I'm just saying that I think we're deciding what it is we want to do. Do we want to mention it to Planning Commission for them to look at, or do we not want to do that?
Okay. I think we can make a decision tonight where we want it to go. Or else we'll be talking about it 2 or 3 months from here. Why don't we just say, Roger?
Say it, Roger.
Talked about
okay.
This.
We have an action agenda item that you all approved in March with the 10 items on it. And if somebody can make a motion tonight that you'd like to insert a new item on action agenda, which is the proposed residential guidelines for the downtown business district and other areas. And that would follow and be inserted after the update of the traffic management ordinance, which is item number 5. So you're inserting a new call 5A. But
okay, I'll make that motion.
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any more discussion on it? Okay. All in favor? All right. Passes unanimously. At least that starts the ball rolling now. Very good. Very good. Okay.
Red Cross Building.
The Red Cross Building.
I just wanted to discuss very briefly on the Red Cross Building, because so many individuals have come to us asking, because I've read in the paper the Red Cross opened up a new building. I talked to one of their prominent board members, Gary Smith, and although they have vacated the building with personnel, they do have some limited operations. They do have a lot of stuff up in the attic and other things that are in the building. Their lease agreement that council has with them was a 5-year lease agreement, and it ends in November of this year. So theoretically, they have a lease in the building until November. Now, if they want to allow some operation to go in there ahead of time or allow some temporary movement ahead of time, that would be something that they would have to decide. What I want to know from council tonight, though, is what you, on a temporary basis, one of the people that persons that have come to us through Councilmember Sprawls is an operation. Currently, they're going to have to get out of their building for a period of time because the floor's rotted out and have to redo the floor. So they'd like to see if they could find a place for probably 30 to 60 days during that time frame. That's a, kind of like a short-term need. And then there's long-term. What does council want to do with that building? You want to just keep it vacant, tear it down, leave it as green space. City could probably use part of the space for some office in the future, or you may want to have it for a nonprofit. But we're looking for guidance as to where and what you want to do long-term, and short-term, do you want us to even contact the Red Cross to see if that other operation can go in there while they're reconstructing the floor?
Well, if they had storage in the attic, couldn't they work on the main area? I mean,
what they've got is, when they built the new building, they actually furnished the new building with all new furniture and everything. So they really didn't move any of the old furniture out of the existing building into the new building. A problem with letting somebody else temporarily use it is the Red Cross right now keeps that building insured, and they would have a liability issue if they were to sublet it to somebody else. And so they would have a concern with that. And as of right now, they don't have any place to put all the stuff that they've got in that building.
But what do we rent this to the Red Cross for?
It's like $1 a year.
So, I mean, come on. Can't they take a little risk for 2 months?
I mean,
the agent can certainly go to the board, the Red Cross board, and ask the board to
And that's what I'm asking, if council would, you know.
I thought we actually had a thing in that lease that we could shorten the term if we so desire.
It's there.
Was it 6 months?
I think he gave them some adequate time. It's, yeah. You're looking at 3 more months.
But then
I think
it was 6 months or a year to make eight if we want them to.
If they could just use the furniture. I just was wondering if they could work together and use the furniture that's there and get the work done.
So I don't think the board would have a problem getting a request from council, can you help us clean this stuff out and so we can let somebody else use it.
Where would you put it?
We'd have to find a place. We've got three or four months to get out, and they're going to find something pretty quick anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, if council wanted me to, I could go ahead and go to their board, go talk to Joanna Blue, who's in charge, and say, could this other operation temporarily use it for 30 to 60 days? And might be able to use the same furniture. They could put the furniture against the wall. But, you know, that'd be if you want me to do that.
Yes.
And then the long term would be, what do you want to do with this building? And you don't have to make a decision tonight, but
good.
But I would like to, you know, start talking to some of these other agencies and say, okay, we're talking about it, and we'll be making a decision in the next 60, 90 days, whether even you want to lease it out anymore.
My belief is that we need to never sell this property, and that it can be used for so many things that the city's been talking about needing. One may be simply parking for our employees that's near to downtown. And I don't see any other space available, and we own this, and it's right next to the railroad cut, so that limits some of its use, I think. And I just want to see us hold on to it.
If you've ever been inside the building itself, the building really is not an asset.
No, I know that. Yeah.
You're not saying necessarily keep the building, are you?
Just no, I just don't think we want to lose this property.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I mean, is this a building in that bad need of repair, or is it just...
My understanding, the building's in pretty good shape.
Pretty good shape?
Yeah, this particular building. The other one, which is... Don, I'll let you go ahead.
It's the pregnancy center on Barnwell Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out last week that the floor in the hallway is about to fall in. Actually, the termite inspector found it. And so they're going to have to move out for about 30 days to get that floor repaired, 30, 60 days.
Well, I mean, I'd love for us to hang on to the building and the properties, and I would love to see us allow some other nonprofit organization to lease this building and utilize it for their purposes, and just as we did.
A shorter-term lease than we've had in the past.
We could do that. Or
That's something we need to discuss when the time comes.
Yeah, the last lease we had was 5 years. I mean, you could go even shorter than that, but that was something you worked out.
Before that, we had what? 25 years.
Something like that.
I do think we ought to try to see if we could talk with the board, the Raj, and see if we could let this agency use it temporarily. If Red Cross is not actively in the building, if they're just storing furniture there.
Well, if you have no problem, I'll talk to them. It's Crisis Pregnancy Center that mm-hmm. needs to find a spot temporarily. If Red Cross is open to that, then as long as council feels comfortable, then we can work out the details and get back with you on that. And then we'll look at it long-term as to what you want to do. So if you have any suggestions long-term, just let me know also.
Yeah, just say contractual right to be. Okay. Council, we need to go into executive session to talk about contractual arrangement. And do we have a motion and second?
I move. Second.
All right. All in favor, show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously.
Thank you. That's okay.